what we're going to look at here is a rally, one of the many rallies that went on during the few days of one of these national gatherings at Nuremberg, of not the army, not the SA, and not the SS. This is not an official military organization. This is the German labor force. These were guys who were taken off the streets and the unemployment ranks and put into these labor groups. So a solution to the unemployment problem was basically forced labor, but they're giving these guys a job. But not only do they give them a job, they give them a uniform. Right? It's militarized just as much as these other groups are. None of this is official army propaganda or demonstration. These are all party. This is all part of the National Socialist Party. So it's as if you joined the Democratic Party and then you'd be participate in these activities. And they're all militarized to a certain degree. So just take a look and see what sort of extremes this goes to. They have their own flag, they have their own standard, see, made out of shovels. And we'll get a speech here. Labor servicemen, there they are, all out there with their shovels. Now, there's a little dirty secret here. Germany's not supposed to have an army larger than 100,000. So they have these people in a labor corps, but they're all learning how to march, and how to shoulder spades. So they're listing all the regions, major cities, sections of Germany. Right? Here's that larger German definition in the midst of this spoken chorus. So there's the large German concept. With a net poem or whatever they're doing. We work in the slum. There's the romanticism, the natural connection. Agricultural vision of things. They're not talking about building bridges and building roads. They're talking about farming. That's the imagery. So there's that anti-modernist component there. Now they all have their songs that they sing along, right? This sense of community that comes from singing together. This is part of the German nationalist tradition goes back into the 19th century, part of the romantic trend there. Yeah, they have the mustaches, didn't they?
Graben und nicht im Trommelfeuer der Granaten und sind trotzdem Soldaten.
They're is that militarization. Now here's the real military part. We sharpen our shovels and our axes to fight, like once at Langemark, Tannenberg, who recognizes those names? Verdun. Okay, so all the First World War battlefields. See how integrated that whole First World War imagery is into their ritual. So they're dropping flags in honor of each one of those battles, the fallen of those battles. Of doing this in the honor of the fallen of the First World War runs through this. It's how that's why you really have to know about the First World War and the cultural impact that it had on Germany as a whole to see what significance it had within National Socialist imagery. So they're going to fight the red menace. There's the stab in the back, the communists, the Jews that are behind all of that, as well as reaction, and that would be conservatives who don't want any change, because remember, National Socialism is a revolutionary movement, but it's towards something different than the left would bring about. And when they're achieved, the lives or the spirits of those fallen soldiers in the First World War will be redeemed. Well, that's just strategy. That's strategy. That's keep them at bay until we're ready to go. Which is, Pip will be talking about that June of 1941 when they roll. That's just as long as that was in place. So the left was more disturbed than the right was. The left, they lost their minds when Stalin signed that pact, and it seemed to undermine whatever naive romanticism some leftists had in the West about the Soviet Union. But for the Germans, it was really more of a relief that, at least for the time being, that part of the battle was going to be good. So here go these workers. So this is the same time that, I don't exactly, but roughly the same time that Roosevelt's putting together the WPA programs. So funding national projects like the building of Hoover Dam and the building of the freeways and so on and so forth with national funds, and then in that way providing work. And so men would join the WPA and they would work for the government. Well, this is the same thing, but you could see how militarized and nationalized and influenced it was by National Socialist ideology. So let's move ahead. This one's pretty cool, but we'll move ahead to the Hitler Youth Rally. Now you have to think for a second. If your alternative is go to Sunday school, and you're a 12-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy, and you can go do this, there may be kids who prefer not to go to Sunday school, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but still, there's definitely an attraction to marching around with drums, marching around with horns, playing with knives, It's Boy Scouts to an exponential degree. And it's very popular with young kids. Everybody you see in this stadium is under 17 years old. As he's going to say in his speech, they're very alert to the need to attract German youth. Because what are those German youth going to do for them? They're going to fight. Right? And I would imagine that, you know, of the faces that you see here, 90% of them ended up in the Eastern Front. That's what they're preparing for.
Is the Jugend, is all this why the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts were sort of kicked out?
Were they?
I believe they were. I'm not sure. I'm not certain. But I believe that there was there were Boy Scout chapters that were.
There may have been some equivalent. I mean, obviously, Boy Scouts of America didn't have a big presence.
Well, they were an English organization.
I don't know. But they would have been redundant, and that would be exemplary of, or representative of, this whole process of putting into gear, which takes place after they come to power in 1933-34, where they either take over pre-existing groups, or they create parallel Nazi groups and just sort of let that sit there, and the message is pretty clear. You don't go to the unofficial butterfly collecting club. You go to the Nazi butterfly collecting club if you're going to get it anywhere. Right. So this is called putting into gear, or Gleichschaltung. And obviously, Hitler Youth took care of most of the youth activities for young boys, and the Bund Deutscher Mädel, I'll write that down. That was for girls. But the whole process is gleich. Which is roughly putting things into the same gear. So, I mean, just look how young they are, and this is 5 years before the war will start, so these guys are going to be of age in 1939-1940. And that's what he's going to tell them here. If they didn't know it, well, I mean, everyone there is 17 years in London. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be in one of those ranks? Just the buzz they would get from that?
Nach einem Jahr kann ich euch hier wieder begrüßen. Ihr seid heute hier in diesem Muschelnur ein Ausschnitt dessen, was außer ihr über ganz Deutschland steht. Und wir möchten uns, dass ihr deutsche Jungen und deutsche Mädchen in euch all das aufnehmen, was wir dereinst uns von Deutschland hoffen. Wir wollen ein Volk sein. Und ihr, meine Jugend, soll dieses Volk nun werden. Wir wollen einst keine Klassen und Stände mehr sehen. Und ihr dürft in euch schon nicht das Groß erlassen. Wir wollen einst ein Reich sehen. Und ihr müsst euch schon dafür erziehen. Wir wollen, dass dieses Volk einst gehorsam ist und ihr müsst euch in den Gehorsam üben. Wir wollen, dass dieses Volk einst friedliebend und aber auch tapfer ist und ihr müsst friedfertig sein.
So he's playing with German. You have to be peaceful and courageous. You should be peace courageous, is what he said at the end. Peace courageous. So, yeah, we're peaceful, but they get ready to roll when it's time. You have to steal hard, you have to be ready for privations, you have to be able to stand up to all of those things. There's all the military stuff. Right? Then there's this notion that through you, right, we're going to cleanse ourselves now. It's you are the future. There's the racial stuff. So blood of our blood, flesh of our flesh, right? They toned it down for the movie. So this whole notion of a movement, right, the Bewegung, right, our columns moving through the streets, there's this active element to the language as well. Very attractive. Youth movement, right, you're going to join into this, you'll start marching with us. Everything has to keep moving forward. Of course, that has its implications for foreign policy as well as the Jewish problem. You have to have a new problem, you have to keep moving, you have to keep people target on some sort of aim, right? So the totalitarian system, you know, it implies that kind of ongoing progress, unending elections earlier, but unending process ultimately toward war. Can't be stagnant. Ritual and the power of that sense of belonging that they get from that singing, holding the arms up, knowing how that all works. I grew up in Madison and went to Wisconsin, and most of the big state schools have this kind of thing, but you sing your alma mater, the alma mater. Well, I grew up singing the Wisconsin alma mater from the time I was 10 years old, because I grew up 3 blocks from the stadium. And you know, to this day, if I actually go up to a game, which is pretty rare, But at that point, at the end of the game, when the whole stadium starts to sing that song, and for whatever reasons, at the University of Wisconsin, when they sing that song, there's a point where the whole stadium starts to puts his arm out and moves it back and forth, just like that. You know, so you've got 70,000 people, you know, singing this stirring song and the arms going back and forth, you know, and I would die for Bucky Badger at that moment. No question about it. So just a little, you know, this, I could do way too much with this, but this section's kind of a little bit funny because I think this is what this is. This is. The military were kind of pissed that they didn't get to show up in this movie, so they wanted to put on a little show and have that inserted into the event. But unfortunately for them, it rained, and the field that they were going to do their presentation on was too muddy, so they couldn't really put on the kind of big indication of their growing strength. See how muddy that is? Which was probably perfect for the international propaganda purposes, because Germany was still supposed to be relatively contained by the agreements after the First World War, and this military segment of events probably wasn't too terrifying to those who were watching. That would change, of course, soon. I'm just going to move it ahead because, we've said that we're reading Mein Kampf to get a feel for the language that would have been presented in a speech that gave Hitler this reputation of being such a great orator. And we don't have that many full live films of him giving a speech, but we do have an extended one here. And you've seen some of it already here, but this would be more like what it would have been inside a smaller hall in the early days, I guess. So let me just throw that on here, and we'll focus on that person again. So this would have been the interior event in a hall. This is the kind of thing they perfected in the beer halls and in the smaller venues up before they were in power and could do it at Nuremberg. So you have the entry of the standards and all this marching and all this stirring music. I'm not exactly sure, but that's a march that was reserved for Hitler. It was only played for Hitler. It's like Hail to the Chief.
Tage,
So referring to that tough past of the early days, you know, building this kind of sense of tradition, you're part of a long-standing tradition. Simplification into two principles. He's lying about being the seventh member, but that's not. Clear totalitarian language, I would say. Little bit of rights. She cut most of the race stuff out for international. This is right after the Night of the Long Knives. So they've expelled those they considered undesirable. So that's a cryptic reference to that. So Ernst Wilhelm and those that have become problematic, the Strasser brothers and so on. Inside stuff. Now, of course, that youth issue changes, but when he took power, he was 43. So, you know, relatively young, and the others who were around, Hindenburg was in his 80s when Hitler took over. So, we have a contrast, similar contrast building right here. So that's a reference to the fact that they're going to pretty soon subsume the SA into the army. The SA thought they were going to end up being in charge of the army, and what happens is he's cutting a deal with them. There's the Führer principle, right? They transfer the being of the nation over to this guy, who for the last 10 minutes that you've been listening to really didn't say anything. Right? It's just all this image bit. There's the stump speech. Right? What are you going to do about continued inflation? What exactly are the figures that you're going to use to pay for the military? I mean, that kind of stuff is not showing up here. But that imagery that you keep getting, the kind of themes that we're drawing out here, pillar, indestructible, eternal, with a strong past, we have an eternal future, right? Providing that whole environment of a sense of stability and order and structure that's going to be long-lasting. So, Die Fahne hoch, that's just just because there it is, right? This is the song, the party song. It was actually a communist song, the tune. It was popular among the communists. And then they wrote new words to it, kind of like Goitang Uba Alas, right? It pre-existed, and then they wrote a song. And the song was the words, it's the horse vessel lead. And the first version of it was a song about this German, this member of the Nazi party who was killed in a street brawl. So it's, that's why it's called the horse vessel lead. Horse vessel was killed in a street brawl. But the truth is that he was killed by either the pimp of his girlfriend or just, you know, another boyfriend of his girlfriend who happened to be communist. Right. So, we've gone back and traced it. We found out who exactly Horst Wessel was and what the circumstances were. Well, they transformed that story into this martyrdom of one of their fellows. Later on, the SA added words which do include, running bayonets into the stomachs of all the Jewish whores and all of that. I mean, it's pretty gruesome stuff in its ultimate form.